Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Brayden Suprenant. Thanks again for downloading and listening to The Brayden Suprenant Show. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen and favorite us on the Odyssey app. You can also catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Plus, stay connected. Follow me at B_SURP, at BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and subscribe to my YouTube page at BSURP. You can also follow the show on social media at B_SURP show, at BSURP show. Now, let's get into the show.
We got multiple guests on today. Rick Wright will join us this hour to give us a different Aztec preview. This will be Aztec football against New Mexico. UNM's pretty good. Pretty solid team. They're right there in third place. They're trying to battle their way into a Mountain West championship spot against maybe San Diego State. So they really could use a win against the Aztecs. That game's going to be on Friday. We're going to get the full preview of that at 11:35. We will have Skyler in studio with us at 12:35. We're going to have Luca De La Torre on the show. At, what'd you say, 1:30?
1:30 is the anticipated time. It might be a little bit earlier, but yes, 1:30 is the time stated.
So we got a packed show today. We're going to talk college football. We're going to talk the NFL and some Padres news. Do you want to get your phone call? 833-288-0973, 833-288-0973. Let's get out to Mo in San Diego. Mo, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? I hope you guys are ready for your Thanksgiving holiday. I know I am. I'm ready to get down on some turkey legs, that's for sure.
That's a fact.
Look, I have a D1 athlete daughter. She plays rugby at Lindenwood University in Missouri. They just lost the NCAA D1 rugby championship against Harvard. Tough game. And I couldn't agree with you more. What my experience was at the high school level was a lot of parents being disconnected with reality, not understanding how their son or their daughter, primarily their daughter, was really developing on the field. And I could tell you without a shadow of a doubt, my daughter specifically was team captain, carried her team, did everything she needed to do on and off the field, put in the work, hit the gym at 5:30 in the morning. Listen, that's dedication I don't have. That was her drive. But this is what she wanted to do, right? She wanted to be a collegiate athlete. Once she got there, right, reality hits and, oh, wow, I'm no longer the best player on my team. But that's also a development cycle that needs to occur, right? So you have these women that have been playing rugby for many years, more so years than my daughter specifically, but then they're also, senior level students and athletes that, have been in the system for longer periods of time and more developed, and they obviously had way bigger of an edge than she did. And she's been battling and making sure she's trying to stay healthy. Of course, that's another thing. But yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I think there's a lot of disconnect between parents and what their child is actually going to be able to do on the long term. And I'm nobody to burst anybody's bubble, but I've seen it firsthand. I can tell you that it's one of those things where you almost start to you know, try to encourage them to look at other options, right? To look at other opportunities for their children. So
it's a very,
my two cents, man.
Yeah, and I appreciate it, Mo. I mean, it's a very small percentage. I mean, I looked at they and it's funny every time they said that. And this is what got the conversation going at the end of the last segment was parents right now, 20%, and in a recent study, 20% of parents think their kids are going to be a D1 athlete. 10% of parents think their kid's going pro. It's not even close to being that kind of number. And every time that those studies come out, it's funny. Somebody posts the NCAA research that they have of the exact percentage. Like, just from a football perspective, and like, I'm sure this changes year by year, but the last time that they conducted the study, there's about 1 million football players in high school throughout the country. About 1 million. 71,000 of them go on to play college football. That's 6.5%. Now, that's not all D1. That's D1, D2, and D3. Think about that for a second. Out of all the high school players that you watch play football, 6.5% of them play college football. 2.5% of those kids are playing Division I college football. We got about 70 kids on our team at Cathedral. Now, we have some good players, so we'll probably have more than this. But if you just do it based on statistics, at 2.5%, we got about 1.75 kids are going to go D1. We got you're going to have like two kids on a 70-player team go to Division I. Two. That's it. But I feel like right now with a lot of the travel ball for baseball and AAU for basketball and making these youth teams businesses and being like it's a business. Youth sports are a business now. It's in the best interest of said business to get you to play as much as possible. That's how they make money. And I think a lot of people that are part of these organizations that just use that as their main source of income, it is beneficial for them to convince a lot of parents that their kid is going to go D1 if they can do XYZ with me. I see it with trainers. I see it with personal coaches. I see it with a lot of different stuff. And the biggest thing that I have with this is what parents need to understand. Most of the kids that are going D1 are genetically better and physically bigger than all the other kids. And so most of the time, if you're a parent, you can look at you and your wife, or you can look at you and your husband, and if you're not very big, or you don't have like the brothers and sisters that are huge, and you don't have like the genetic, they ain't going to D1. They're not going to grow. They're not going to go to D1. I mean, they're looking at that stuff. And it's such a different animal now. It's even more of a different animal in college athletics and D1 college athletics than when I was a part of D1 athletics in 2017. 2014 to 2017. If you look at it now, we have kids that are coming back. I've gotten to see a lot of football alumni the last couple of days from Cathedral. And a lot of them are playing Division I football, which is great. And a lot of them are playing D1 football in the FCS. And what a lot of them have said, and what I'm it's like they're saying, Coach, it's such a business now. It is such a job, even more than just like managing classes and doing all that stuff. I mean, they have agents that are constantly looking throughout the season to find them a new landing spot to potentially make more money in the transfer portal and they go out and they are sending tape out, and you're constantly recruiting college kids as well as high school kids, and the agents are out there trying to find landing spots to improve their kid's spot to get a contract, to then convince the kid, like, all right, we got you an offer. You're going to have to enter the portal now. This is what's going on. It's crazy. We had one of those kids talk at our team meal about what it means. I mean, how different it is, like how enjoy this while you can, while you're playing in high school, because in high school, you play for each other and you play for the, you know, for the common goal and something bigger than you. He's like, you get to college. He said, it is selfish. You are playing for yourself. You are individually trying to make yourself better and trying to individually get to a spot where you can benefit the most and make the most money. That is what most college athletes are doing. Now, some of these guys are able to come together and play for a common goal, but it's very difficult to see now. And again, it's just, we have created this. We have created this by convincing parents that their kid's going to go to D1 when only 6% even go to college. And there's different percentages for different sports. I just mentioned football. But you go through, and like the highest percentage right now of high school athletes playing college athletics is lacrosse and ice hockey. 11.2% of high school kids make it to the NCAA in ice hockey, and 11.9% make it to college in lacrosse. Women's sports are different too. The highest percentage is ice hockey still, and lacrosse. 23% and 12%. Their percentages are slightly higher, but not much. But everything else, those are the only, ice hockey and lacrosse, the only two sports that have double-digit percentage chance of making it to college to play the sport. Not Division I. There is only one percentage, there's two sports, one for the women and one for the men, where you have a more than a 5% chance of making it to D1 in your sport. It's ice hockey for both. That's it. You want your kid to go play? Your best chance of going D1 in athletics is playing ice hockey or playing lacrosse. It's not as popular of a sport. But it's crazy, Frank. You look at like the numbers, and it's really unbelievable.
Yeah, it's nice to see hockey getting represented like that. But other than that, I mean, it is. There's so much competition, especially in football and in basketball. Baseball is just a hard sport to play, period. You either can or you can't. You can find that out fairly quickly. It's always going to be adult. We've said it many times on this show. It's always going to be adults ruining the fun for the kids, period. Because there's always going to be those adults that push their kids to play a game that they were able to play when they were younger and couldn't get far, so they want to live their life through their kid. It's always going to happen.
Yeah, and that's the activists in the chat. Yeah, this is usually club sports in college, too. Ice hockey and...
Yeah.
The two universities, D1 universities I attended for... academics and not sports, obviously, because I am not tall enough to play college athletics. The Ice Cats for Arizona, very popular club hockey team for the Arizona Wildcats. And then, you know, TCU had a club hockey team, but there were club teams. So it's kind of crazy. It's not a subject I thought I was going to get to today, but we got the good phone call from Mo. Mike Schilt's got a new job. Anybody see that?
It's like Don Mattingly. You get tired of his family after a month.
So Mike Schilt's got a brand new job. We'll talk to you about it. Yesterday there was a rumor that he was going to be on an MLB Network show. Well, it's going to be involved with MLB, just not on the radio. We'll talk about Mike Schilt's new job when we come back on the Brayden Soprenet Show, standing as one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got some news. Mike Schilt's got a new job. It was rumored yesterday that, at least in the YouTube chat, that he had signed on to be a, I didn't believe it at all, but like part of the MLB Network on a show. I mean, come on, dude. You heard Mike Schilt's interviews with Bennett Woods. He didn't like, I mean, he was not comfortable. Didn't really buy it. Now, there's a report out of Birdland.
Hey, Birdland.
That the Baltimore Orioles are bringing former Padres manager Mike Schilt aboard in a minor league player development role. Source confirmed. Schilt, who recently departed San Diego after two seasons with 90 wins or more, will be Baltimore's new minor league upper-level coordinator of instruction. Schilt, who also managed the Cardinals from 2018 to 2021, opted to leave his role in San Diego following a second consecutive playoff exit. He told The Athletic last month that the decision to retire was his own, and in Schilt's own words, he was worn down by the job. Quote, I don't want people to think I checked out or wasn't engaged or wasn't doing my job. No, that's not the case. I tell myself, and I have done it since day one of the job, regardless of the level I'm going bell to bell. I'm going to give it everything I got because I owe it to the team and the players, so I did that. So he's got a new job. Now, I'm not overly shocked by this. I thought when Mike Schilt retired, I thought for sure he would be back in baseball. I didn't think at age 57 he was going to be done with baseball. He would come back to something. I thought it might be a year, maybe 2 years, but I thought eventually he'd come back to baseball. Now, I think this would be more shocking news if he was a manager somewhere. Like, if he signed on to be a manager somewhere else, it'd be like, okay, this is a major red flag. But I still believe that he was worn down by the job, and I still believe that he didn't want to do it anymore, and I still believe it was his own decision. All of that stuff. The only job, and Kevin Acey even puts this out in a tweet. Kevin Acey just tweeted this out. I'll get the exact tweet from Kevin. This is the kind of role Mike Schilt said he was interested in after, quote, retiring as manager. It takes a lot to be a manager in Major League Baseball. He obviously didn't want to deal with that anymore. And maybe he was retiring from being a manager. Maybe he needed a break from just being a manager, not just working or working in baseball. He's got no kids. He's a single man. He's 57 years old. I mean, I don't know what else he would do. I thought he was going to be sitting on a porch somewhere in North Carolina for the rest of his life. He was going to be part of something. But like, what was he going to do? Step away from manager and then continue to work for the Padres in a different role? I mean, that doesn't make any sense either. Guy didn't want to manage anymore, so he stopped managing. Now, am I surprised it happened this quick? A little bit. I'm not overly shocked that he's back in baseball, though. Did anybody honestly think that Mike Schilt was going to be done with baseball when he retired?
No.
I don't think anybody thought that. We could all be like, oh, okay, kind of makes sense. But at the same time, it was no. So he's got a new job now. But this is the type of job. I agree with Kevin Acey. This is the type of job that he would come out of retirement for. I just thought he would stick it out a little bit longer. It was like a month. When did he retire? October?
He retired like 2 weeks after the Padres were eliminated.
Which is mid-October.
Yeah.
He had been retired for a month. And he's already back. That's fascinating to me. I still think two things could be true at the same time. Right? Like, I still think, like, he wasn't forced. And people say, like, oh, he's forced out.
No, that
I'd
has
stop.
To. I think the phrasing of retirement may have had something to do with the contract that he was under to be manager here. Maybe it was the easiest and cleanest way to leave if that's what he really wanted. If he really didn't want to be a manager anymore, that might have been the case, and that's just pure speculation on my part.
We said it when he retired, though. Retiring from baseball. He was retiring from being a manager. Maybe he didn't want to be a manager anymore.
Which I
get. That's a lot of stress and a lot of, and you know what? He's a guy that's like constantly, he said it in his, he wanted to please everybody. He wasn't going to please everybody. And we saw that big article about what it was like in St. Louis, and he's hard to work for and all this other stuff. I mean, that takes a toll on people for an entire 162-game season. The guy probably doesn't want to do that anymore. But you know what? He loves baseball, and he loves developing players. I mean, everything that he said in that article about what he likes to do with baseball and giving it his all and getting the most out of his players, the way he acted last season, the way he's acted as the manager of the Padres of always defending his players and always looking out for his players. And now player development makes a lot of sense. It does. It does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I agree with Go Aztecs, though. So, like, I don't think it's that big of a red flag. I think it's a little bit of, it's interesting. I find the story to be interesting. You know, when there's smoke, there's fire sometimes. But I think this still comes back to Mike Schilt was done being a manager.
Yeah, I think if anything, it has more to do with Schilt than it does the Padre organization. This was his decision. As you mentioned before, we heard a lot about what it was like for him in St. Louis and what it was like around him in St. Louis. And then after he left here, what it was like around him here. He's a good manager. Didn't win less than 90 games in any of the seasons he managed, but two short stints as a manager because of his abrasive style and his abrasive personality. So I mean, you're right. It is the perfect role. He goes to Baltimore. They have a lot of young players that I'm sure will keep him busy. I don't see this being a Padre issue. I see this being a Schilt issue.
I think player development is probably perfect for him.
Yes. Something.
He's from North Carolina. He'll be back at the East Coast. I mean, I'm sure they'll have him in some roles going up and down the East Coast of the minor leagues. I bet you he could probably do that job from home. I mean, there's a lot of, how many guys do you see in baseball that have like these jobs where they get to work?
Yeah, from home.
From home. Like Nick Conley's got that job with the Rangers.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still with the Rangers now because he was applying for jobs and everything like that, but he was playing. I mean, he was doing stuff for the Rangers here in San Diego.
Yeah,
and he's not, like, he's still around. I mean, you could kind of live I don't want to talk for Nick Hundley because I don't know what his day is like, but didn't want to manage in San Francisco because he wanted to be part of his kids' lives, right?
Yeah.
And so he's able to do that working from home for the Texas Rangers. I mean, not to say that that's like a retirement level. I'm sure he worked really hard, but maybe this is just enough baseball to give him an activity to do too.
Yeah, and there's a good amount of minor league teams in
the Orioles organization on the East Coast.
No, not even in the Orioles organization, but just in North Carolina. The Charlotte Knights, the minor league team for the White Sox, he can scout them out for Baltimore. Of course, the the Durham Bulls, Durham, North Carolina for Tampa. Scout them out, divisional rival. So there is certainly enough around that North Carolina area, North Carolina, Maryland, the Virginia area, to keep him busy with Baltimore. Norfolk is the Norfolk Tides, or Baltimore's minor league team, the AAA team. So there's a lot for him to do there. And as B. Wilson in the chat said, there's a lot of players in that organization that will have familiarity with him, whether for good or for bad, from the O'Hearn and Laureano trade, that he can get to work with right away, that he kind of knows how to deal with.
I think I agree with, and here's our friend on Twitter, Giannis, too much Bortons.
Okay.
I agree with him. He thinks people are reading too much into this. What Schultz said still holds true. The stress level and overall investment of being a manager is pretty significantly different than being a minor league coordinator of instruction.
100%.
I couldn't even tell you, what does a minor league coordinator of instruction do? Coordinates instructing in the minor leagues?
Instructs the coordination of the minor leagues. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's right there in the title.
What is your every overall day to day? Minor league coordinator of instruction.
You're going to see Mike Schild pop up on TikTok. Come with me on my day as a coordinator of instruction in the minor leagues.
A day in a life. This is what AI had to say about a minor league coordinator instructor. Specialized staff who oversee player development in specific areas across an organization's minor leagues. Thanks. He could be a pitching coordinator, a hitting coordinator, an infield coordinator.
So it's almost like he coordinates the instruction of minor leaguers.
That's right.
There you go.
What does that mean?
Son of a gun.
This video explains the role of a minor league mental skills coordinator. Maybe he's doing that.
It probably isn't Mike Schild.
It's probably not Mike Schild. Again, I think two things could be true. I don't think I think people want to read into this because of the negativity they like to have. He makes schedules. Yeah, that's what he does.
I'm sure that
people.
He does. Oh, he yells at people. I thought you said he does the AP poll. Like that's
no, he yells at people.
No, I saw the comment you were referring to. I would not be surprised at all if him retiring was just the cleanest split between him and the organization contractually. That would probably be my guess, would be they used the retirement term for the contract. I'm sure it probably did catch the Padres off guard. It was a surprise to them, I'm sure. But instead of like a mutual separation or him just straight up saying, I quit, I think him retiring was contractual lingo. Would be my guess.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he's got a new job now. We'll see how that works out. Now, here's the only time that it'd be like, questions arise if he takes a manager position in the next two years. I give him a 2-year window.
If he takes
a manager job in the next 2 years, like if he takes one next year, I'll be like, what's going on here?
That's a little much.
But if that's not the case, then it fits the narrative. It fits exactly what they're talking about.
B. Wilson in the chat. Orioles minor leaguer is going to get really good at hat tipping.
Good for them. Good for Mike Schild. I don't know. 833-288-9973. 833-288-9973. When we come back, we're going to get to Rick Wright. He's going to give us a preview of the Aztecs and the Lobos. It's a big game on Friday. If the Aztecs win, they host a Mountain West Championship game. We got other information on that as well, which I find interesting. We'll get to after that conversation. If they win and San Diego FC hosts, got a little bit of a stadium issue. We'll talk about that after we talk with Rick Wright to give us a preview of the game between the Aztecs and the Lobos on the Brayden Soprano Show, San Diego's number one sports station, 97 to the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We got big sporting events going on in town. We got San Diego FC on Saturday in the Western Conference Final. We have Aztec basketball against Baylor tonight. And coming up on Friday, we have the Aztecs and the Lobos of New Mexico. It's a very important game for San Diego State football. They, with the win, will host the Mountain West Championship game. It's a very important game for the New Mexico Lobos. They are in the conversation of potentially making it to the Mountain West Championship game themselves. They had a 5-2. They're 5-2 right now in conference. 8-3 on the season. Have put together a really good year. It's all going down in Albuquerque coming up on Friday. To give us a preview of this game, the longtime writer for the Albuquerque Journal, Rick Wright, who is now retired but still works a couple of days a week out there, who knows more about New Mexico football than almost anybody on the planet, now joins us on the Brayton Soprenet Show. Rick, how's your Wednesday going? Hope you're getting ready for a fun and safe holiday weekend.
Yeah, going great. Weather here is beautiful, and it's supposed to be semi-beautiful, at least on Saturday, on Friday. So looking forward to that as well, very much so.
Obviously a very big game on Friday between the Lobos and the Aztecs. As you know, you've covered the Lobos a long time. What have you seen out of them this season that has made them, you know, so good throughout the year?
Well, it's been a shock, first of all. I don't think anyone, including Jason Eck, would have expected them to be 8-3 going into the season finale, having a chance to make it to the championship game. He's done an amazing job. He did an amazing job at Idaho as well, but he's topped himself. They're not a team with a discernible weakness. They're good on both sides of the ball. They've had some issues on turnovers in special teams as well as on offense. But here they are. They stubbed their toe at San Jose State. Lost at Boise State, which was no surprise to anyone. Since then, they're just rolling. 5-0. They've played their worst football against the worst teams and escaped against Nevada and Colorado State. And they played super well against Utah State. They've just done what they had to do. I don't think they're great on either side of the ball. Their run defense is very strong, maybe not as strong as San Diego State's, but it's close. And, you know, there is nothing, you know, maybe the coaches at San Diego State feel otherwise. There's nothing I would point to and say, well, this is a real weakness for this team. It's amazing what Eck has put together, considering it's almost an entirely new roster from last year.
Well, that's kind of the situation that you're going to have a lot when it comes to college athletics, is a brand new roster each and every year. At what point during the season, obviously they went to Michigan to start the year. That was a 34-17 loss. They looked pretty decent early on in that contest, and, you know, always a difficult game for a Mountain West school going to play a Power Four school. But then they knocked off UCLA on a Friday night. That had to be really the telling sign that they were, and I know UCLA's not having that great of a year, but that would be a really telling sign that things were going in the right direction if you're the Lobos.
It did, but then after the San Jose State game, I expressed in print some doubt about how good this team was going to be, given that UCLA was just so demoralized at that point of their season and played horribly, to be kind. After that San Jose State game, when they got lit up by Egitt, the Spartans quarterback, I just wondered, is that all there is, really? Is the UCLA game all we're going to see in terms of significant improvement? You know, Boise State didn't prove anything either way, I didn't think. Nevada was a squeaker. They didn't play well, still won. Utah State was kind of the turning point for me, and that was just two games ago, if you don't count this one, and where they just demolished Utah State, coached by their former coach of 1 year, Bronco Mendenhall. So that was a turning point for me. They just really flexed some muscles in that Utah State game. I said, well, then came UNLV, beating a very good UNLV team on the road. Again, they're real. They are for real.
Offensively, you know, for the Lobos, as we talked with Rick Wright, who covers the Lobos for the Albuquerque Journal, big game on Friday between San Diego State and New Mexico. Offensively, got to have a decent quarterback to be able to win a lot of games. Jack Lane did a good job this season, 2,271 yards in the air. He's got 12 passing touchdowns, 5 rushing touchdowns. What can you tell us about the quarterback for the Lobos?
Well, he had a tough act to follow in Devin Dampier, who was almost a one-man team last year, and now is at Utah. And I wrote early on in the season that Jack Lane is no Devin Dampier, but he can get you where you need to go, and he's done that. He's not a great runner like Dampier is, but he's sneaky fast, and he's really a very good improvisational quarterback. Makes great decisions most of the time. Now, if the running game doesn't work, and that's going to be a question against a defense like San Diego State's, therein lies the question. If he has to throw like he did against Michigan and had a couple of picks, that could be a problem. But he's an accurate passer, probably more so on the deep ball than Dampier was. He's just really smart, and he doesn't lose his poise. Whatever happens, if there's a bad play, he's going to come right back and forget about it and just keep on keeping on. He's a very good, very good, very smart player.
Last thing for you, Rick. One of the bigger aspects of this Aztecs team is their rushing game with Lucky Sutton, with Christian Washington, with Byron Cardwell. You mentioned the Lobos have a very good run defense. How do you see this being a match? How do you break down this matchup going into Friday's game?
Well, in his weekly news conference yesterday, it seemed like Eck was almost rubbing his hands in anticipation of this because he really loves that kind of game. He's from Wisconsin, grew up with the physical football. I think he's really looking forward to seeing his team compete against such a run-oriented offense. He sounded really confident, to be honest. That they can contain the big guy in the backfield and maybe have their way when they get the ball.
Yeah, we'll see what happens on Friday. Rick, we appreciate the preview. Enjoy the beautiful weather in Albuquerque and look forward to talking to you again.
All right, you bet. Thanks, guys.
Rick Wright, who covers the New Mexico Lobos from the Albuquerque Journal, joining us on the Brayden Suprenant Show as we got a big game on Friday. Now, here's the thing. This is like shocking news to me. I'm trying to break it down, but what we have here is an interesting situation. We talked about this yesterday when it came to San Diego FC and potentially hosting, and San Diego State potentially hosting, and back-to-back nights.
Yeah, that's it's gonna be fun.
Kirk Kenny had a article today,
okay,
talking about how they could potentially move the Aztecs out of their own building.
What?
To downtown. It said it's like possibly.
Oh, okay.
A thing, but
so
like
they
it
might move it to Petco,
right? But still, it's like,
wait,
they own the building.
No, that would be the week. No, that would be next. That'd be next Saturday, right? Would be the game. Would be the championship game?
Their championship game would be next Friday.
Next Friday.
Remember, we talked about this yesterday. If San Diego C hosts, it would be next Saturday. Not this coming Saturday, but the following Saturday. And I find that to be very interesting.
My thought would be the wrestling, but that's this weekend. I mean, you could say, I understand how you can spin it and be like, hey, this is a pretty big venue you guys got here. Petco Park, a lot of seats, big show. I could see how you can spin it that way. You could probably also spin it that way for San Diego FC, if we're honest. But that is intriguing that they could move it to Petco Park.
Okay, so here's what came out in that article from Kirk Kenny. So obviously, Snapdragon Stadium found itself at the center of a unique scheduling dilemma after hosting a college football game and an MLS playoff match within 48 hours. That scenario could become even more compressed if the Aztecs and San Diego FC both advance to and host the respective championship games in 2 weeks. Stadium would need a transition from football to the MLS Cup match in as little as 12 hours, a turnaround that athletic director J.D. Wicker said is impossible, which we both agree with.
No, you can't do that.
The natural grass surface, different field configurations for football and soccer require far more than a 12-hour window. As a result, San Diego FC and San Diego State have planned contingencies to avoid an unworkable overlap. The contingency plan is Aztecs move to Petco Park. San Diego State announced it will move the Mountain West Championship game to Petco Park, but only if they are hosting and San Diego FC is hosting an MLS Cup. This allows the San Diego FC to keep the MLS Cup at Snapdragon while eliminating the impossible setup turnaround.
Listen, we didn't expect either one of y'all to get this far. So we didn't foresee this issue happening. So let's just play rock, paper, scissors, see who gets which building, and we'll leave it at that.
I guess so. They said this is why Petco Park works. They hosted football before. They hosted the Holiday Bowl for a handful of years.
They hosted soccer before, too.
A prior $2 million retrofit made a football capable, including removable seating along the first base line. Padres CEO Eric Rupner said the organization is fully supportive and ready to host San Diego State. Now, Aztec statement, they acknowledge the logistics make dual Snapdragon events impossible. They thank the Padres for offering Petco, describing it as a workable temporary home. Notes that moving the game still give San Diego State players and fans a strong home field environment. As Eric Rupner mentioned, he says the Padres enthusiastically offered to help, and it confirms that Petco Park is prepared to host the Mountain West title game if necessary. Here's the conditions for hosting. San Diego State hosts if they beat New Mexico on Friday. They could still host with a loss. Computers determine the tiebreakers. There's a lot of different tiebreakers that are involved. In order for San Diego FC to host, they will host the MLS Cup if they beat Vancouver and New York City FC upsets Inter Miami.
Yes.
And Lionel Messi. Both teams won a preseason number 8 pick. The other, a first-year MLS expansion club, have unexpectedly played their way into championship contention. Snapdragon Stadium is currently being resodded. New grass will be installed by Wednesday, today, giving it 72 hours to settle before San Diego FC's Saturday match. Saturday's playoff game is already sold out. If San Diego State must move to Petco, WWE Survivor Series will take place the night before, filling most of the field with two rings and seating. Offloading WWE equipment must be immediately followed by a football field setup. Mm-hmm. Petco's Holiday Wonderland begins December 5th and will require schedule adjustments. San Diego State expects to know by Sunday morning whether they need to activate the Petco plan. So here's the timeline for the Petco Park field setup. Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, they would lay down new turf. Thursday, they paint football lines. Friday, they kick off. J.D. Wicker notes San Diego State has, quote, proof of concept from past Holiday Bowls and believes this solution allows San Diego to host both championship events within 12 hours, something impossible at Snapdragon alone.
Well, San Diego, you thought it was going to be a breeze having good teams. You know, you thought this was going to be cool. We'll just come in, we'll just win a bunch of championships, and we'll be all right. It turns out there's a lot of stuff that happens when it comes to winning teams.
Other key details, as laid out by Kirk Kenny, no one wants the MLS Cup moved out of San Diego. The other potential contingency plan was to move it to Carson. I'd be super sad.
Oh, God.
I'm tired of moving San Diego teams to Carson.
That would have been horrific.
Awful.
San Diego State doesn't travel? You'd think San Diego State doesn't travel to their home stadium?
No, they wanted to move San Diego FC.
Oh, San Diego FC.
And the MLS Cup.
Oh, No. You can't do that. You cannot.
They've already moved the Aztecs up there for 2 years. They were up there for 2 years during COVID. Obviously, the Chargers playing there. I'm tired of watching San Diego teams go play there. So thank God that they were like, nope, we can't do that.
That would be a grave mistake to take the championship game that San Diego would have earned by having a wild, rabid fan base all season long to uproot that and possibly see San Diego FC win San Diego. Not to forget about San Diego FC. San Diego win its first major championship in Los Angeles when it could have been here. That would have been horrific from all sides. You could not do that.
Yeah, but that obviously was not, nobody wanted that. Not even MLS wanted that to happen.
Good, and right. I'm just saying the fact that that was even an option that was on the table for as brief a time as it was, that would have been horrific.
They obviously want like a smaller stadium for the MLS Cup. Yeah.
Should have played the game at Southwestern College.
Based on the glowing review. Yeah, no thanks. Could you imagine the Mountain West? We got one ticket guy.
Boy.
Boise State's going like, where are we playing right now? Why is there a Jaguar on the field? Is that the Aztecs' new mascot that they had? Remember they had like the thing?
Yeah, it's Jackie the Jaguar.
That's the name of the mascot at Southwestern
No,
College?
I have no idea.
No, Luis, that's not why they should have built Soccer City. You'd still have the same problem.
Yeah, no,
that's a dumb comment.
Yeah, no, this is not a one building plan over the other. This is
no, that's just being dumb.
This is literally what I said at the beginning of this is we didn't expect y'all to be this good at the same time. We don't know what to do right now. This is you would have had this issue either way.
Two stadiums the exact same size in Mission Valley would look dumb.
Correct.
You'd be like, what are they doing? Why are they wasting all this money on two stadiums? I mean,
there's some land in Chula Vista, I heard, that's going for pretty cheap right
now. Just make it gigantic. Just make it 60,000. Please build a stadium that can actually host major events, please.
Build an stadium in Chula Vista, please.
You just want to save time on driving.
No, it's not even that, because the
that new
drive
thing, yeah,
from
great.
My end, the drive build from my end over to where it would be is not, it'd still be about the same amount of time.
I agree with Sam in the chat, though, because everyone's like, oh, this is a no-brainer. And moving the entity that owns the stadium out so the tenant can play is just the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
But again, this relies on a lot of things to happen. So this is still a hypothetical scenario that
I'm rooting
we're dealing
for
with
happen.
Right now. Jeez, I'm rooting for my eardrums now.
Mine were fine. I'm rooting for that to happen because we get to host two major events. It's great.
Oh, it'd be great. It'd be fun. But they're still a lot reliant.
Could you imagine could you imagine an NFC Championship and an AFC Championship game, both at supposed to be at SoFi, and then they move the Rams somewhere else so the Chargers could play them? Nobody would ever agree to that. New lunchtime hour next.
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Brayden Suprenant Show. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe to the podcast and favorite us on the Odyssey app. And remember, you can always catch me live weekdays from 10 to 2 on 97.3 The Fan and streaming on YouTube. Stay connected. Follow me at @B_SURP, at @BSURP on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And don't forget to subscribe to my YouTube page at @B_SURP. You can also follow the show on social media at @B_SURP show. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.